Luke, the 15th chapter, please stand, reverence to reading of God's word. We're going to start reading at verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he had yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. He was angry and would not go in, and therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it was meet that he should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let us pray. Father, again today I thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Once again, Lord, as we stand here this day, we need your power, need your wisdom. Lord, we need all things from thee. And Father, especially, I believe we all need, Father, open hearts to the Word of God this morning, to the message you've sent by your servant. And I trust your servant will do well this morning by just preaching what you want. And Lord, letting it go to into all of our hearts to do that which needs to be done this morning. And I certainly pray, Father, if there's anyone here that's unsaved, oh God, let that soul be saved. Born again into your family. Father, if we as Christians here this morning, and we have things, Lord, between you and us, oh God, help us to get those things removed this morning. And Lord, to be back in a right fellowship, to come home to you. And Lord, realize you're a wonderful, loving, heavenly Father who loves us and will forgive. And once again, I thank you for your goodness and kindness. And Lord, do your will this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, as I told you, we're going to preach on the prodigal son, but I've entitled my message, He Left, He Took, and He Found. He left, he took, and he found. What we're going to do basically, as you all already know, the story about how he decided to go to the far country. I can almost see him skipping away to the far country smiling and enjoying himself and saying, I'm free. I think about people like that in the scriptures, and I think that's probably what he did. I've got money in my pocket. Daddy just gave me my portion of the inheritance. I've got money in my pocket, and I'm going to do what I want to do. I haven't ever been able to do that. And I'm going to go and do whatever I want to do. What we're going to do is center in this morning on the portion of scripture we see as he heads back toward his daddy's house. He's a broken man, done for, coming back home. Well, why did he get there in the first place? Well, because he thought he knew what was best. He thought he knew that going out there and having a great time, getting a hold of his own life and doing what he wanted to do was going to be the best he'd ever had. But now we're going to find him heading back home after he come to a broken place in his life, completely broken, heading back to the Father, willing to receive servant, be a servant in his Father's house. What I want to do is look at, first of all, is what he left in the fore country. You know, when you've been down to the fore country, and let me just say this first of all, and I think I've told you this before, I do believe that when you look at this portion of scripture, you could preach it either way, because the principles are there to preach it being a lost person, or preach it being a son who'd went away, and I believe that's the picture we have here, a son going away and then coming back home. Could be a backslider coming back to God. No doubt about that. At the same time, you could use the principles and say it's a sinner coming home to the Heavenly Father to get forgiveness, realizing, understood, and understanding that they're sinners, lost, hopelessly lost, and going to come on back to God and get saved. We could look at it that way, but I want to kind of look at it this morning from the standpoint that this is a person who we would call a backslider, who gets away from God, goes out into the fore country, and comes to the place where God is able to finally break him. You know, that's a difficult thing sometimes. You know, I really did. I thought about that a lot this week. And I said to myself, you know, it's hard for people to come to the place where this man come. You know why? We in America have too much. Even the backslider lives good. Got all kinds of things. But this fellow run out of all of those things. It was a time when he didn't have anything, period. So he decided it'd be good to just go on home. But boy, today, I mean, we could just live in a backslidden condition and just no one would ever know it. We're not down in the hog pen. We're not eating the swine's food husk. No, we're not doing those things. I mean, we're just living high on the hog. Still backslidden away from God. Well, I want to show you one thing, first of all, that he left when he left the fore country. Now, folks, and the reason I want to stress this is because a lot of folk think coming back to God, you don't have to leave anything. I want to tell you what he left. He left his sin down in the fore country. He had lived his life. And the older brother said he used his daddy's inheritance and lived with harlots. But when he come out of the fore country, he left that behind. And I believe when you leave and get back right with God, I believe you leave your sin behind. Don't you? I believe you just leave it behind. And that was a good thing for him to leave behind. Amen? I think also he left all of his plans behind to sin. See, I told you earlier, I really believe this guy had all this plan. Man, he was going to have the good time. He was going to go down that fore country. He had never been there before. He was going to go down there and he was just going to have a great time. He was going to do what he wanted. He had money in his pockets and he was just going to live it up. But on his way home, I want to tell you, all those plans was put aside. He left them down in the fore country. I think we ought to put aside our plans to sin. I think we ought to put aside our plans to go outside of the will of God and walk away from God and stay out there away from the will of God. And decide we need to get on back home where we belong. I want to tell you something else he left down there in the Four Country. He left a lot of wasted years. You see, I think this is one of the hardest things in Christianity today to get people to understand that when you're backslidden, folks, you're wasting life. You're wasting life. You're not getting the work of God done when you're backslidden. And there was a whole lot of time there, and I don't know how long he was down there. I really do not know that. But I think he was down there a good long time. Spent all of his money, got to the place where he finally had to work for somebody, feeding swine. I think this was a lengthy time, but let me say to you, that time was wasted. I say to you as a Christian, if you're backslidden away from God, I want to tell you, you are absolutely wasting time that you can never regain. You'll never regain it. The time who people spend when they're backslidden away from God is time when they could have done something for the Lord. And all of that time is wasted, and you never can go back and pick that time up and add it back to the time that you have in the future. You can't do it. It's past. It's done. So he left his sin down in the Four Country, and he left a lot of wasted years down in the Four Country. I want you to get a hold of this morning, because I want you to listen to me. I would say in a crowd like this, I'm just going to say to you folks, I'm not trying to put a finger on anybody, but I would say there's some backslidden folk in here, away from God, not where they ought to be. They basically are down in the Four Country, away from the Lord, and you're wasting time. Someone said to me the other day, said, you know, if so-and-so would get saved, can you realize what that individual could do for God? Well, they're just wasting time. Yeah, you know what? If anybody gets saved, there's a lot people can do for God. It's a waste of time to not be saved. It's a waste of time to be backslidden away from God. It's a waste of time. You don't have a whole lot of that. You want me to testify? I'll testify. Most of my life is behind me. I can testify to that. It don't take long for it to pass. It goes very fast. Amen. Do you want to waste it? You want to look back over the past of your life and say, you know what? I just walked away from God. I didn't do anything for God. I just wasted those years that I could have been doing something for the benefit of God's work, and now I'm going to have to face Him with that. Amen. You see, he left a lot of wasted years down in the Four Country. He also left a testimony of sin lived by someone who claimed to be something different with those down in the Four Country. You know, Eli told his sons, he said, your wickedness, he said, you are causing the Lord's people to transgress. What we don't understand most of the time, and I think it's because we don't want to, folks, when we're in a backslidden condition, we are helping this world to go on in its transgression. We're leaving a testimony of the fact we don't care about God. What God says doesn't matter. And you're out there, and if we're backslidden away from God, we're just going to say that to the world. It doesn't make any difference. It's all right for me to live the way I'm living. No. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. You see, he left a testimony, a terrible testimony, down in the Four Country. Could we go down to that same Four Country after he left and find anyone in that Four Country that would say, oh, there was a man of God came through here? Could we go to any of those in the Four Country and say, did you ever receive a testimony of Jesus Christ while he was here? Because let me tell you, a backslidden person will not witness. Oh, no, they won't. No, they won't. Oh, they might say something about God. They might say something about church, but they'll never open their Bibles and present the gospel of Jesus Christ because they're backslidden. They don't have a testimony that anybody's going to believe. See what a waste it is? Honestly, do you see what a waste it is? See, he left a horrible testimony in the minds of those people down there in the four country. There wasn't a one of them would say, boy, what a testimony that man was for God. Because of him, I want to be saved. I want to walk with God. It just wasn't there. It's not going to be. He also, and this is good. This is good. He left his pride down in the four country. Amen. You know, when he went down there, as I told you, I think he was really on top of everything. Daddy, I want my living. I want what's coming to me, my inheritance. That's what I want, Daddy. Give it to me. Yep. Came back home and saying, Daddy, I'd just like to be one of your servants. Pride was gone. I don't know whether you understand or not. I really don't know if you understand or not. I've been preaching for 34 years. I've seen this over and over and over. Pride is one of the most wicked things that a man can have. It's absolutely the same thing that caused Satan to fall. Do you understand me? Pride is a horrible thing. Yeah, Daddy, give me my living. Give me that which I got coming to me, Daddy. But I want to tell you, God has a way to take care of pride. He can break us. He left his pride in the four country, come home dragging everything behind him and just coming and saying, Daddy, if I could just be a servant. I'm not asking for anything, Daddy. I don't want anything, Daddy. I just want to be a servant. Now, what I'm telling you is we better get that pride left back in the four country where it belongs. A lot of people today, a lot of Christians today won't get themselves right with God today. They won't do it. You know why? Too proud. Do you know how many people you understand how many people I run into that just has never done anything wrong? I mean, they are absolute perfection. There's never a time to say, I done something wrong. No, they won't do that. No, it's always somebody else's fault. Always is. No, somebody else done it. If they hadn't have done this, I wouldn't have done that. Amen. That's pride. That's pride. And God won't put up with it. I don't know where you're at in your life, but I want to tell you, God broke me of pride. I didn't say I don't still have some, but I want to tell you what. He broke me of pride. He literally busted me. And I can testify today, thank God he did. And he's still working on me about it. And he won't quit. Because pride is a horrible, horrible thing. Okay? Leave it down in the four country where it belongs. God accepts humility, contrite, and broken spirit. That's what God is after. That's what he wants to see us down on our knees saying, oh God, it's me. It's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Understand what I'm saying? A lot of things need to be left down in that old four country. Needs to be left there and buried there. Amen? Now folks, listen, your preacher knows by experience. God won't quit till he gets it. Now, you say, well, I got by. No. I have seen God so many times in my life. I get around something, and I think, whew, got around that. About that time, I turn around and run right smack dab into the same thing. same thing down the road. You say, boy, I got around that. Bang. No, you're not going to get around it. You think you're going to get around it. You think God's just not going to leave you alone and you're going to get around it. No, he's not. Because he stands against pride. He rebukes pride. Amen? So it would be a good thing. I'm just telling you, it's a good thing to get rid of it, because you're not going to win. Rather than fighting, yield to him. Get a humble spirit about you. Realize it's only God can do anything in your life. It's not you. He left his pride down in the far country. Good place to leave it. Buried in the deepest pit back in the far country. Amen. So he says, Daddy, I'm willing to be a servant. I've sinned against you. Here he is. You mean, wait, this is the same guy that left? Yeah, same guy. Same guy who's so proud. The same guy. Said, Daddy, I just want to be a servant. I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven. I'm sorry, Daddy. Amen. So he left some things down in the far country, but he also took some things with him. Let me share with you, first of all, he brought his rags home with him. I really have no idea, honestly, because the scripture doesn't just give us a detailed idea, but I have a feeling when that guy left home, he probably riding on a real nice horse. That's my interpretation. Beautiful horse with beautiful saddle and beautiful all everything and beautiful clothes on, nice clothes. Probably had a bow tie on. I think he looked really neat. And when he come back, I have a feeling he probably had a stick in his hand just barely making it. Just barely making it home in an old ragged clothes that wouldn't hardly cover him. So he brought some old rags back home. And let me say to you, if it wasn't like I'm describing it, I want to tell you his life was a bunch of rags when he come back home. Did you know the devil pays off in rags? That's all he's got to pay you with. He don't have anything good. I'm talking about your life, folks. You may be dressed just real wonderfully, and you just may look real handsome and real beautiful, but I want to tell you something. The old devil pays off in rags when it comes to your life. Amen. You know what he brought back from the far country? A life of failure. I mean failure. I've thought about that so many times, and because I think on these things, the one thing I want to do for God is I just want to please him. Now you say, Brother Ross, do you always please him? I don't think so, but I want to. I don't want to get at the end of my life and then look back and say, you know, I didn't care a hoot about the work of God. Didn't matter to me. I don't want to do that. I want to get at the end of my life and at least have him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It wasn't the amount that I'm going to do, but in the spirit I do it. Because I do it for him. There's so many men of God that's done so much more than me. But you know what? That's okay. That doesn't bother me. I just want to do what he gives me to do. That's what I want. With the abilities that God has given me, whatever that is, I just want to do for him. I think he also took from the far country a life that absolutely was scarred with sin, and he brought it back home. You know what? I really don't know what he looked like, but I have a feeling from the time he left to the time he got back, he was a mess. I think probably he had scars on his body even from sin. I think he looked old and haggard. Have you ever looked at someone and said sometimes that they just look hard? And a lot of reasons that's true is because of the life they've lived. They just get hard. Just get hard. But I do know this. His life was scarred with sin. Things that he can never, ever take back. All that he'd done there, I don't know how the elder brother knew it, but he said he squandered his living with harlots. I don't know how the older brother knew all of that, but that's what he said he did. Can you imagine that? To bring that back home and having a life of sin. And everybody looking around and saying, look at you. Look at the difference between when you left and when you came back. He brought those scars back home with him. Now, I'm trying to help you because I want to tell you something. The scars don't have to be there. Don't walk away. I'm not making fun of those who have some scars. I'm not making fun of them. I'm saying, let's warn those who don't do it. Don't go down to the four country. Stay away from the four country. Because you're not going to come out of there unscarred. Not going to do it. Amen? I don't believe any child of God can walk away from God and come back the same. It's impossibility. There's something that happens. Oh, can we come back to God? Oh, yes, and praise God we should, and I hope we will. But is there some things that happen in there when we've walked away from him? Yes, and I don't think we'll ever be the same. Can we be forgiven? Oh, thank God. But will it ever be the same? No, I don't think so. Amen? I don't think so. And then also, there's something else he brought out of the four country. He brought a memory of regret that he'll live with for the rest of his life. Folks, you can't get away from being in the four country. You may get it all forgiven, but I want to tell you something. You'll live a life of regret for the rest of your life. It'll be there. Amen? And let me say this also. He's going to bring back to his daddy's home a life that he had sowed in which he's going to reap. Oh, well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says, whatsoever we sow, we shall reap. I believe the Bible. Now, what we would like God to do, even though we come and get saved, even though we come and get everything right with God, you know what? There's still some reaping. We don't like that part of it. Person who has been an alcoholic and has cirrhosis of the liver, just a good illustration of that, can get saved and born again. But you know, most of the time, he's still got cirrhosis of the liver. And he lives with it for the rest of his life. He can get saved? Certainly he can. But he still reaps his past life. What I'm saying to you folks, isn't it better to sow right? This man sowed wrong, and I think he reaped that for the rest of his life to certain degrees. It doesn't mean you can't be forgiven. It doesn't mean you can't have a good life. I'm just saying it's the principle of sowing and reaping. But let me say also, there's the sowing and reaping of good things. Thank God for that. It's not all have to be bad, because he also reaped that which is good. When you sow something good, you can reap from that. Amen? So that's why I say, isn't it a good thing to start sowing right? So you can reap good? Amen? Isn't it right to treat people right today so that you can reap from that? Isn't it right to be honest in all your dealings so you can reap from that? I promised God a long time ago, I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to cheat anybody. I mean that with all of my heart. I'd rather be cheated than to cheat. I want to reap good. Now, I'm not saying you have to pay your bills on the first day it comes in, okay? I'm just using an illustration. I'm just trying to say to you, so right. Because let me tell you, reaping principle is true. So wouldn't it be better to even start today and just start doing right? Do everything right. Do good. Treat people right and act right and live right and do all of those things. Why? So you can reap that. Amen. If you haven't had too many good things to reap, why don't you start sowing some good things so you can reap something good? Amen. So he not only left some things in the foreign country, he took some things back home. But let me say also, he found some things when he got back home. One of the things is, and I think this is an exciting, you know, I spent a lot of time on it, but this is exciting because I think you already know. He found a father that was willing to forgive him. He found a heavenly father that loved him. He found a father that didn't look at him no longer as a son that was sinning, but a son that came back and he was alive and he was going to do with for him everything he could do for him to make him welcome home. Now, I want to tell you right now, that's our Heavenly Father. You know, we've talked all about the reaping and sowing and all of that, but I want to tell you, folks, listen, if you're a backslidden person away from God, you've got a Heavenly Father who will welcome you home. But can I say something? The Father did not go down to the pig pen and get him. He came up out of the pig pen and said, I'm going to go home. He came, the Bible says, to himself. In other words, he finally came to the place and said, I'm the one that is the problem. Not my father, not anybody else. I'm down here because I did wrong. And he said, I'm going to go home. And my father, if he wants to treat me as a servant, it's okay. But he found out he had a loving father that opened his arms and said, son, come on home. You'll find the same thing. But listen to me. You're not going to find that Heavenly Father welcoming you till you come up out of the pig pen. I said, well, I'm not down in the pig pen. I'm not running around with harlots. You don't have to run around with harlots to be in the pig pen. You can be in the pig pen when you're away from God. You understand me? You can just get away from God. You just get away from him. You just don't walk with God. You don't let him be that in your life that he's supposed to be. You've got a spirit of, you know, I'll do what I want to do. God's not going to come to the pig pen to get you, buddy. You're going to come out of that pig pen, and then you come to God and you say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me, and God will be there to welcome you home. So he found a Heavenly Father that loved him. He also found a bunch of servants who welcomed him. These are probably the same servants as was there when he left. And the servants went and helped and get the fatted calf all ready, and they was having a joyful time, and I'm sure many of these servants went up to him and said, welcome home. I'm glad you're here. I want to tell you something. You'll find out that if you come on back home to God, you'll find out the brethren will be happy for you. They're not going to walk around. Majority, listen to me. Majority is not going to walk around and say, hey, you never should have went, you bum. The majority is going to say, welcome home. Amen. Isn't that what you would do? Someone come back to God and say, I've been away from God. Wouldn't you say, welcome home, brother? Let's just go from here on. And you know what I believe? I believe he did in his life reap a lot of things because of that sin. I don't think it was ever the same for him. I know he got welcomed. I know he got all those things. But you know what? His inheritance was already gone. And the way I read this is the older brother that got the rest of the inheritance. He said, the father said, everything I have is yours. Why? Because the younger son had already spent his and blew it. Okay? So he found a Heavenly Father that welcomed him. He found brethren that welcomed him. But he also found a brother that was mad and angry. I don't know what the relationship between that brother and that brother was, but I have a feeling when he left and got his inheritance, that older brother, and I'm not okaying what the older brother did. I want you to understand that. That's not in the message this morning. I'm not okaying, but I want to tell you something. If you look at it from a logical standpoint only, he had a right to be mad. No, he shouldn't have been. I don't believe he should have been, because that's not the way you do things. But that brother had walked away and went down to the far country and disgraced the name. Now all at once he's coming, and everybody's making over him. You know, there's some people, when we backslide, can't get over that for a while, because of the trouble they've caused. I'm not okay and not forgiven. I'm just simply saying, do you understand what I'm saying? You know, don't expect everybody just to fall at your feet. There'll be some elder brothers that'll look at you and wait and say, I wonder if he'll go again. Amen? But what I am saying is this, it's time to get out of the far country. It's time to get out of there. It's time to walk with God. It's a time to get back close to God Almighty and get this backslidden condition out of your life. You're not going to win that. And you're destroying people all around you. A backslidden daddy destroys his children and then wants to blame somebody else for his children's actions. But it all comes home to that backslidden daddy that don't want to get right with God. Too proud. You ain't going to win it. You may think you're going to win it, but you're not going to win it. What God is doing is calling you back home. He said, come on back home. Come on, I'll be right there waiting on you. With open arms, I'll be right there waiting on you. Amen. I'll forgive you. I'll cleanse you. I'll make you new again. Amen. That's what God wants you to do this morning. What I would do is just check your condition. Let me say, most of the time, people know when they're backslidden. Because there's not a sweet spirit of relationship with Christ in their life. You know you're backslidden. You pretty well know. You may not know how far you're backslidden, but you pretty well know things are not right between you and God. Don't you think it'd be best just to get that straight? Just come on home. If you're unsaved, if you're not a child of God, don't you think this would be a great time to just simply say, God, I have sinned. I have sinned. And oh God, I'm just exactly what you say I am. And I want forgiveness. I want to put my faith and trust in Christ and be born again. Amen. Do you think that'd be the right thing to do? Now remember, the Father didn't go down to the pig pen and get him. He came to the Father. God's not going to go down to pig pen to get you. He'll be there waiting for you to come. But you've got to repent and come out of the pig pen. Say, I want to be saved. Or I just want to get right with God. I want to be what God wants me to be. Been down in that old far country for a long time. It's time for me to come home. Amen. Bow your heads, please. Right before I pray, I just want to ask you a question. You say, Brother Ross, as you preached this morning, I don't believe I'm one of his children. I believe I'm the one you talked about that's not saved. Don't believe I'm God's child. It'd be a good time to come on home if that's true. You say, Brother Ross, I've been dealt with this morning. The Holy Spirit of God's dealing with me. I just feel like I need to do something about this. But I want to first of all admit I'm just not saved. I'm not going to call your name out. I'm not going to call you up front. I'm not going to do nothing. But would you just by raise of hand say, I'm just not saved. I'm not God's child. Just raise your hand. Say, I'm just not saved. Just not born again. Say, Brother Ross, I'm that backslidden person you're talking about today. I'm down in the far country. No, I may not be in the slime of the swine, but I'm in the far country. I'm down where I ought not to be. I'm not right like I should be with God. I'm one of his children, but I'm not right with God. Say, Brother Ross, will you just pray for me? You know, that's one of the greatest things, just coming to that place and saying, you know, I'm not right with God. That's a great step. I need some. Will you just raise your hand, please? Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm just not right with God. Just not where I ought to be. Thank you so much. Thank you. Someone else. Say, I'm just not where I ought to be. I'm down in the fork country. Thank you. God bless you. Down in the fork country. It's time for me to come home. Time for me to come home. Thank you so much. God bless you. Someone else. Heavenly Father, I certainly thank you today for your grace and your mercy. And I realize, Father, you can't do much with us when we're not even willing to admit where we are. I understand that. We're many times, oh, hardened people. And, oh, God, I pray this morning and thank you for those who had a soft enough heart to just simply say, you know, I'm down in the fork country. I'm not where I ought to be. It's time for me to come home. Thank you for their honesty. If there's any here, Lord, that maybe just couldn't raise their hand about salvation, Father, I would pray that this would be the time they'd come forward. They'd let us take God's word and they'd let us show them how to be saved, be born into God's family, and become a child of yours. Once again, Lord, I just want to give you this invitation and ask you, Lord, to use it according to your will and do in hearts as needed. And we'll thank and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.